Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And I'm going to be reading this morning by the grace of God from the 8th verse. Luke chapter number 2, I'll read from verse number 8. Luke chapter number 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Please say with me, all people. Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. When Pope Julius I, in 353 AD, decided to make the celebration of the birth of Jesus to take place on December 25, he would probably not have thought at that time that it would become what it is today. It is now, today, the greatest festive celebration in the entire world. He would not have thought it was going to metamorphosize to that. But one other thing that he would probably not have thought about at that time was that he would probably not have thought about this, that there was going to be any time in the history of mankind that there would be a separation between Christmas and Christ. He would never have thought that there was going to come a time when there would be a kind of a subtle way to wanting to substitute the core of the celebration of Christmas with every other thing apart from Christ. I would like to submit to you this morning by the grace of God on the platform of God's word that what we are experiencing today, people attempting to celebrate Christmas without Christ, is simply because they do not have a perfect understanding of what the first Christmas was. So because they had a distorted view of what the first Christmas was like, it is very difficult for them to begin to celebrate Christmas today and to connect the Christmas of today with what was then. This morning, by the grace of God, I want us to go through God's word and get a better perspective from God's word and begin to see Christmas in the light of what God had intended it to be right from the first Christmas. And this morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be talking about Christmas in 3D. Christmas in 3D. Shall we pray? Lord, breathe upon your word. Let this word come alive unto us. Take us into that inner chamber where there is the revelation knowledge of God's word. that we may understand the reason for this season. I ask that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people. My brethren, your people. Let them receive the word that is going to be preached this morning into the deepest part of their heart. And let this word transform us all. I ask for an anointing upon myself. I ask that you make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word this morning flow out of me like a stream of living water, in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. Let this word transform us all together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Christmas in 3D. Now, we have been introduced, you know, to the 3D dimension of movie experience. The entire gaming industry seems to be thriving so well today because of this 3D experience. As a matter of fact, the extent of addiction to the gaming, to all sorts of games, have been as a result of the transformation that has taken place from 2D to 3D. Now, when we look at something, the way God has programmed our eyes, planted in the front of our head. So I was saying that there has been a transformation in the way we view things today because of our 3D experiences. God has given us two eyes planted in the front of our head. And when we look at something, each eye takes a particular view. It looks, the right looks at something from a particular viewpoint, if you like, slightly different to what the left will pick up. Now, when those images are picked up by the eyes, as it were, the stimuli are picked up by the eyes, they are sent into the brain. It's a very complex arrangement that it could not have been by any other power other than the power of the highest that has put that into place. It's a big network of computer system that takes place between the time that we look and the time that the image is registered and the part of our brain, in the back part of our brain, called the occipital area. Now, when this image falls into that place, the image from the right and that of the left, they are combined together and they are interpreted such that the brain is able to inform us of the things that we are looking at. Now, the beauty of it is that we see things in such a way that we are able to appreciate the width, the height, and the depth of it. The width, the height, and the depth of it. That's the three-dimensional way that our eyes and our brain have been put together to translate whatever we are looking at. It is what we call the three-dimensional stereo picture. And that's the way the Lord wants us to see things in order to be able to relate to our environment. Now, there comes a problem when there is a distortion or there is a withdrawal of a dimension from all these three-dimensional figures that I've just talked about, the width and the height and the depth of it. Now, the other time my family went to Gold Coast. We were actually going to go on a holiday. It was a one-week holiday, and we went into this particular place. I think they call it the Movie World. In there, they will usher you into a place, and then you're going to see this movie. And we're just having a discussion at the other time, and my kids were telling us that was a 4D movie. I said, why do you call it 4D? Now, they call it 4D because apart from the fact that we have a three-dimensional view of the movie, the chair upon which we're actually sitting was giving us an experience to immerse us, as it were, into the scene of the movie. For instance, if there is a jostle in the movie, the chair will move. If there is a sprinkling of water, there will actually be a jet of water from the side of the chair that will come to your face. Am I talking about something that nobody has experienced here? Okay, praise God. So it was to immerse us into the scene of it. And it was very interesting that we were immersed into it. We felt it. We moved with it. There was a screaming. There was a joy. There was a clapping. There was, as it were, a connection between us and what we were looking at in the screen. Why? Because we were able to be immersed into what was going on in there. I'm afraid that there has been a disconnect between what Christmas is and what God has intended it to be, because our view has changed over the years. There has been a change of perspective, and many of us, instead of looking through the 3D dimension into Christmas, are beginning to see at the 2D level. Perhaps some even at 1D, maybe some 0D, nothing, blind completely to what it means to celebrate Christmas. Now, this morning, what I want us to do by the grace of God is to begin to bring to our attention the 3D dimension of God's intention to bring Christmas to us. Perhaps that will begin to inform the way we actually celebrate Christmas. Now, if you ask anyone about Christmas, they will only be able to tell you things about Christmas in two dimensions. This is what I mean by that. They will be able to tell you about the when of Christmas and the where of Christmas. If you ask anyone, for instance, when is Christmas? December 25. Where are you going to celebrate it? Oh, I will be with my uncle. Oh, I will be with the kids at the beach. Oh, we're going to go into, the state, or we're going to travel somewhere. So people are able to tell you about the when and the where of Christmas. But there is a third dimension that needs to always, at every point, be incorporated into the Christmas story for us to have a 3D perspective of it. And that is the why. The why of Christmas. Why are you celebrating what you are celebrating? And this morning, what I want us to do is to follow a physician in God's word by the name of the man called Luke. Luke was a physician, and he put together a beautiful picture of what the Christmas at the beginning was like. And that was not just to make us to enjoy the story, but it is also a reminder to us to be able to have a connection between what the Christmas was then and what Christmas ought to be now. So rather than just asking about the question of the when and the where, we need to come into a platform where we begin to introduce the third dimension of the why. And we see it in no other place other than the place we have just read this morning. So if you've got your 3D glasses on, I want to take you on a journey. This is a very interesting journey. Just imagine yourself to be in a movie center. And then there is this large movie center that Dr. Luke, in this passage, is going to take us into. Now, this is what you're going to appreciate. Now, in this large center, there are two chambers. There is the chamber where there is only the 2D experience of the what, or rather of the where and the when of Christmas. And then after taking care of that side, Luke, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, now takes us to another chamber. In this particular chamber, there is the 3D experience, and I just want you to go with me. Now, in Luke chapter number 2, this is what you're going to find. In Luke chapter number 2, it starts reading as from verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria." Now, stop. Now, that is telling us about the story of when Christmas took place. This was an account of the time that it took place. And if you will have related this particular passage to good historians, they will have used the information contained in there to be able to give you an idea of when this actually took place in history. In history. They will have told you this is when it took place in history. And when I'm talking about historians, I'm not talking about Christian historians. I'm talking about historians who know their onions, who are versed in the history, especially the history of Palestine. So this actually took place. And the first two verses introduce us to the question, when? Now, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Stop. Verse number 4 does not want us to miss anything at all about the place where it actually took, or rather, it doesn't want us to miss the where this actually took place, the place where this event took place. It went to the point of telling us about the movement from one place, Galilee, to a city in Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Hold on to that because we're going to come to that in a short while. Now, so this is the experience, the 2D experience of some people in our world. They are able to tell us about the where of Christmas and the when of Christmas, as it was in the beginning, when it actually started. And so they relate it to their own experience now. So they are only going to be asking themselves these two questions. When is Christmas? December 25. And where am I going to spend Christmas with my family? In London, in Paris, you know, in Ellenbrooke, with my uncle, with my aunt, with my friend, even though that, you know, with the people that we grew up. So they are able to answer those two questions about Christmas. Now, the problem with that is that it's going to give you a distorted understanding, a myopic understanding of what Christmas is all about. Because you will end that passage in verse number 7, and she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This was the event. So with this event, we have a full grasp of where it took place. We now have a full grasp of when it took place. But God is saying, no, you see, you don't have to remain in that chamber. Let me take you to another chamber. And this other chamber is what we're going to see as from verse number 8. That verse starts with this important word, now. Please say with me, now. Now. Now, this is, just imagine yourself being taken around by the manager of the movie center. And the manager has just shown you the first scene, you know, the act one, scene one, as it were. This is the act one, scene one. And then it takes you to another chamber where he's going to actually show you things in three-dimensional form. Now, the interesting thing is this third dimension that is going to be introduced will actually give sense and meaning to the first two dimensions that has been introduced to you in the first 7 verses. Now, what is that? Verse number 11. I believe this is one of the most profound scripture that talks about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it gives us the 3D dimension of what Christmas ought to be like. This was exactly what Christmas is supposed to be like always, at every point in time. See verse number 11. It says, for there is born to you, when? This day. Not any other day. Today. This day, this is what an experience with the angel, and we're going to get into that in a short while. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. That tells us about the question, where? The first part talks about the question, when? Today, this day. The second part talks about the question, when? Or rather, where? In the city of David. Now, the third part is so critical, it's so important. If you miss this, you miss all. Because this is the third dimension that gives meaning and sense to the first two. And unfortunately, this is the part that we miss, and so our celebration of Christmas becomes distorted. Because right from the very beginning, we miss it, if we miss this point. It gives sense and meaning to the first two. The first two questions talk about the where and the when, but this talks about the why. It says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, what? A Savior. I want you to say that with me, please. What? A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the why. That's the why. The why is enwrapped in that word, a Savior. a savior. Because beyond every other thing that we celebrate at Christmas, the core of it is the salvation of man. Now, if you miss the core of it as being the salvation of man, you miss it all. That is the third dimension that God has packaged in this particular verse that gives sense and meaning to the first two. So the guys in the first room, like I said, are only watching the 2D dimension. They are only being told about the where of Christmas, Bethlehem. When of Christmas, the time. But they have no clue as to the why of Christmas. But the guys in the second room, that Luke, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is introducing us to now, they have a balanced view of not just the where of Christmas and the when of Christmas, but they understand the why of Christmas. And that makes a lot of difference. Now, three important things happened on this particular day, and I don't want you to miss anything. Three important things happened on this particular day, and I'm going to be categorizing them under three different titles or topic. The first thing is the pattern. There was a pattern. Pattern is spelled P-A-R-T-I-N-G. What do I mean by that? If you look into verse number 13, something happened. Now, because in this particular event, there were three key people or three key individuals or three key groups of people, and you will know in a short while why it's so difficult to categorize the three of them together, that were involved in the first story of Christmas, in the story of the first Christmas. And the first one that we'll see in this passage is God himself was involved as the one behind the scene. In verse number 13, the Bible says this, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." Why? Why praising God? Verse number 14 says they are singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Why glory to God? Simple. Because there was a pattern that took place at that particular point in time. God parted, as it were, with his son for the first time in history. This has never taken place. And may I announce to you on the platform of God's word that it will never take place again. There was a separation, a parting between the father and the son for the first time. The angels of God understood and recognized exactly how much it took God to separate himself for the first time since the foundation of the world. In fact, before the world ever began, as we know it today, and as we'll discover it tomorrow, because we keep still discovering, you know, that our universe is expanding at a rate that is greater than that of the speed of light. Every single second, there is an expansion of the world, of the universe, as it were. Because the world has never stopped expanding. The universe has never stopped expanding since God spoke the right word, "Let there be." Now, the way we know it today and the way we'll ever know it on this side of eternity, even before those came into being, there was a union of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. But for the first time in the history that man will know it, there was a parting between the Father and the Son. And that provoked the angels of God to sing, you know, to the Lord and to appreciate him and to bless him. Glory be to God in the highest. This is a great thing he has done. He has given his only begotten son. Now, people of God, listen to this. This is very important. I've got three daughters by the grace of God. I can't imagine myself parting with one of them, even though there are three of them in my house. Now, sometimes they cause trouble, and I wish that some of them would go to the park and give me some rest. But I will never part with them. I won't part with them. Yesterday, they said they were going to go around Ellenbrook and watch the lights, you know. And I was glad, you know. I said, please go, you know. Let me just have some peace in this house, you know. Just go, you know. Because if you are not settling quarrels, you are asking somebody to give somebody to, you know, you are asking someone to allow someone to come into his room because that one is saying, this is my space, you shouldn't come, you know. So just go, you know, for this period, and then I will see you after 3 hours, you know. And that was good. Now, but that was not a pattern to any great degree. But when God was going to part, he actually parted with Jesus for a particular reason. And you will ask the question, why did God part with Jesus? Now, this is very key to the celebration of Christmas. Because if we miss this, we are missing the why, the third dimension of Christmas. And the celebration, the commercialization, is null and void if we miss this part. Because this is actually the reason for the season. Now, so we've just talked about the parting. Now, let's talk about the second thing that took place, which is the party. There was actually a party at that time. Now, don't forget there was this party in the presence of a group of people referred to as the shepherd. And that's a different ballgame entirely for God to have bypassed every institution, every powers in the land and in Jerusalem, and just chose to go and meet with some shepherds. We don't even know their names. And he met with them. But there was a party. Now, look at it in verse number 10. It says this. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, because all of a sudden, in the midst of the night, in an howling wilderness, these were just innocent shepherds just looking after their flock, just minding their home business. There was this light that came around, and the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, let's read from verse number 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, I know that many of us have come across good news before, and I'm talking about the party here, the party that took place at the time of the first Christmas. Now, it is important for us to understand the reason for the party, otherwise we would just be partying and not appreciate that the pattern is as a result of the third dimension that the angels knew about that first Christmas. The party was not just as a result of the fact that now it's December 25th, you know, or December 25th, because it was not even then. As at the time that they were actually holding this party, there was no decision to make December 25 the Christmas day. Don't forget, this actually took place 300 years after Jesus had come and gone in human form, before it was declared as a celebration, as a holiday. Now, but we need to understand the reason why there was a party in heaven. The Bible says, "I have brought to you great news of great I bring to you good tidings of great joy, and this joy will be to all people." That's staggering. To have a piece of news that will be to all people, that will bring good news, glad tidings, excitement, ecstasy to all people. Now, I've come across good news before. I mean, I've experienced things that I've shared with other people that I consider good news. You know, I've been in places where people have shared their good news with me. But I've not come across a good news that is for all people, that will get everyone excited, that will get everyone, you know, happy. You know, I remember when I graduated in the medical school, that was a big deal for me. That was really big for me, a doctor. That was big, you know. And then I visited my wife. At that time, we were not married. She was working in another place in the country. And then I met with some of the friends, you know, and then they say, oh, so what do you do? You know, I'm a doctor, you know. You know, even though I just passed the exam last week, you know, I'm a doctor, you know. And they say, oh, that was great, you know. You finished your medical school? Yeah, I finished my medical school. And that was it. I was not very happy, because I expected them to be much more happier than they showed. I mean, this was something big, you know. It's a good tidings that should be for all people, you know. But that was not exactly what I got from them. Now it may have been a good tiding to me and for my family. And that was good. That was great. But it was not for all people. Now, the first Christmas was so big that it was not just for a section of people. It was completely universal. This was a great news that would be for all people. Staggering. As it was then, so it is today. Why should this be a great news for all people? Why should what happened at the first Christmas cause the angels to celebrate? Because if you read down a few verses, you will discover that it was one angel that initially appeared to them. But all of a sudden, the Bible says, and there was this host of angelic being. Angelic being that you could not count their numbers. And those were the ones that formed the, you know, if you like, the first worship team in this particular instance. And they started singing, glory to God in the highest. And unto her, peace, goodwill to men. What happened? What's the reason for the party? I mean, if you came to your house and you find your people having a party, you want to ask what's the reason for the party? You know, just like you remember the story of the prodigal son, and when the brother came and he found them having party, he has the question, why? Because you don't party for no reason. Why the party? Why the ecstasy? Why the celebration? And that is the core of the matter. And that's the third dimension of Christmas. Because something took place at Christmas that has never taken place before the history of man. And that was because there was a savior injected into the history of man. Now, there was a termination, as it were, of the power of sin over man. That's the big news. That's the good news. There was sin, and there was a savior who came to overcome sin in order to give salvation to man. Man was literally caged, you know, kept in dungeon at this time. And then a savior appeared to save man from the destruction that he's heading towards. And this has been attempted by several other people before Christ came. But sin kept capturing them. Abraham, captured. David, don't even go there. He was not just captured, he was chained and put some. But by the mercy of the Lord, Isaiah, captured, all of the prophets of old, captured by sin. And that was why the angels were in ecstasy. There was big celebration because there was a dimension introduced to the history of man, which is that man can literally walk out on sin. That's the big thing. That's the big news. That's the big news. That was the reason for the party. And if you're here, you're still struggling with it. You have not yet walked out on sin, then you have not got the third dimension to Christmas. If you were to watch Christmas in 3D, this is the dimension that was missed by the first group of people. Because they only knew the where of Christmas, they only knew the when of Christmas, but they did not know the why of Christmas. The why of Christmas was that a savior was born. A savior was given to man to save man from sin. To deliver man, you know, from the cage of sin. And that applies to you, people of God. It applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to all of us. If we remove that out of Christmas, then the Christmas becomes an empty shell. Unfortunately, that is the way it is done this day. You know, we have people who have no clue, no idea about who Christ is. And they are the ones that have the biggest, the tallest Christmas tree. With lights all over. Now, don't misunderstand me. I mean, there is a Christmas tree here, you know. But that is just not the real thing. You know, the giving of gifts is great, but that is not the real thing. The real thing to celebrate is to celebrate that there was a time when you were saved from sin, on your highway to hell, delivered from sin, and put in righteousness with Christ. That is the big thing to celebrate. That is the news. That is the news. The Bible calls it the good tidings of great joy. And for all people. All people. All people. So we have the parting of the Father from the Son. We have the party that took place in the first Christmas. The third thing that happened was the publishing. The publishing. Don't forget the parting was the initiative of the Father. The party took place by the initiative, as it were, of the angels. But there was a publishing that took place, taking the initiative of the shepherd. Look at what it says in verse number 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, verse number 17, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. So what did they do? Don't forget, these were innocent shepherds in the wilderness of Palestine, just minding their home business. And then all of a sudden, this angel came to them. And this angel gave them this news. There is being born today in the city of David, a Savior. And this will be the sign, and gave them the sign. And the Bible says immediately, this shepherd did something that I believe that every one of us that have had the opportunity of seeing this third dimension of Christmas ought to be doing today. We should be doing it at every Christmas, but we should be doing it at every other day, because every day, in fact, is a celebration of Christmas. You know, I've come across people who have talked about the fact that December 25 was just imposed on us. It was not supposed to be the day we are actually supposed to be celebrating Christ, because no one knew. And in a way, I actually agree with that. But I agree in a different way. I certainly agree that we shouldn't just be celebrating Christmas only on December 25. Perhaps we should be celebrating it in April 4, June 5, November 16, October 4. Somebody says, why are you saying all of those numbers? I'm just saying, if you have not got my drift, that we should be celebrating Christ's Christmas every day. Maybe not in the way that we commercialize things, but it's a big news. Big news. The biggest news that any man can actually experience is the fact that he has a Savior who has delivered him from hell. Eternal separation from God completely, forever. Somebody says, how many years is forever? Forever is forever. It's not a million years, it's not a billion years, it's not a trillion years, it's forever. And to be delivered and saved from that eternal separation, it's what's being celebrated every day, people of God. Now, what is the way the Lord wants us to celebrate this 3D experience that we have been privy to? Simple. Exactly the way the shepherds did on the first Christmas. The Bible says when they heard the news from the angel, they went there to see the baby. And then what followed after? They went into the street. They started talking to people about what the angels had told them. They started speaking about the beauty of the story, the greatness of the story. The prophecy has been fulfilled. We are no longer to be waiting for a Savior, because the Savior is right here in our midst. That's the big news, that no one should hold to himself who has got the third dimension view of what Christmas is all about. The people that are able to hold it to themselves are the people in the first room who have only known the where and the when. When you get to the platform of understanding the purpose of Christmas, the why of Christmas, you are filled with this. The Bible says, I'm filled with so much. It's like I'm bottled up. I just want to speak to someone. There will be opportunities, people of God, this Christmas to talk to people, maybe at the family level, you know. There will be opportunities to mix up with friends. There will be opportunities to maybe catch up with co-workers as people celebrate the end of the year. This is the big news. And this is the great news that everyone ought to know about. Everyone ought to hear about it. Somebody said, but they've heard it before. Maybe not from you, And if they have heard it from you before, why not again? It's so big that it's worth repeating. It's worth being repeated. I just told you that the day I got, called, as it were, and I was asked to come and take the oath. In fact, before I took the oath to become a doctor, everyone knew. If you don't ask, I will tell you. Why? It was big. It was a great news. As far as I was concerned, I finally made it through the medical school. Great news. How is it comparable? It is not in no way comparable to the news of salvation, that a Savior came into our world and took you and I from a highway to hell, delivered us, and put us right with God to be with him forever. That's a great news, people of God. It is worth sharing. If anybody says, but you told me last year, I need to tell you again. I just need you to, it's a big news. It's a big news. And that's what exactly what the shepherds did, people of God. When you get into this room and you appreciate the 3D dimension of Christmas, you can't just shut up. The reason why many of us are able to shut up is because we have not got into this dimension of understanding the why of Christmas. Because those guys in the first room, they just knew that it was, as it were, if we're going to use it in our data in today's time, they just knew it's December 25. They just knew it was time for us to catch up with families and friends. But they had no idea that it was actually the celebration of the Messiah born unto us. People of God, let me say this as we begin to round up. I know there is a way we tend to see life colored with our own issues. What I mean by that is, if you are struggling financially, there is a tendency to think that the greatest problem of the world is money. If you are struggling with your relationship, you will think that every other person is having some problem with their relationship because it's a big thing to you. If you have health crisis, health problem, there is a tendency to begin to see the world around you through the screen of health issue, as if it was the biggest thing. But may I tell you that not everyone is poor. There are people who are not thinking about money because they are okay. There are people who don't have health issues because they are okay. There are people who don't have struggles with their relationships because they are okay. But there is no one born of a woman who don't have troubles with sin. Everyone that you see that is living above sin at one time has had to make a decision to accept the gift that Christ gave at the time, that God gave in the time of Christmas. Everyone. They have had to come to a point in their life when they have said, look, I can see the third dimension to it. I can see the why of this Christmas, and I'm flowing with it. They have had to make that decision, and that's why they came out of sin. Everyone has got a sin problem until they have an encounter with the Messiah, with the Savior. That, people of God, to me, is the big news of Christmas. It should not stop today, 24. It should not stop tomorrow. It is something that we should be celebrating all the days of our life. As a matter of fact, you should wake up in the morning celebrating that you have been delivered of sin if you are saved and born again. That you have been delivered of sin. That you have been saved forever. And you should be challenged at all time, every day that you wake up. Who am I going to talk to about this third dimension of Christmas? Who am I going to talk to about the fact that this is the reason why he came? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And he shall bring forth a son, and you shall name him, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Can I be very blunt to you? Jesus did not come primarily to solve our money problem. He did not even come to primarily solve our health problem. Because there are people who are backsliding because they don't think that God has intervened in their financial matters. It did not come primarily to deal with our relationship problem. All those things are extra benefit that come when we embrace the reason why he came. The reason why he came was to deliver you and I from the power of sin. Sin was messing up with men and women all over the world. There was no one who could confront this gigantic a monster called sin. It ravaged every family that was before Christ came. And the birth of the Savior put an end to that. That is what we are celebrating, people of God. That is the reason, the purpose of Christmas. That is the depth of it. Some people have seen the height of it. Some people have seen the width of it. The depth of it, which is the third dimension of Christmas, is that a Christ came to save the world. The challenge to you, people of God, because I know we have got two different people in this room. We've got people who say, you know, I got it. I'm saved. I'm saved from sin. I came to Christ. Some of us even know the date and the hour that we came to Christ. I think we should applaud that. That's great. That's beautiful. The challenge today is that there is a part that we have to play to complete the cycle of why he came on the first Christmas. And what's to complete the cycle? The publishing. The publishing. The Bible says they went everywhere talking to everyone about what they have heard that has been told them by the angels. The first thing they was to seek him, and then to see him, and then to speak about him. Seek, see, speak. That's the way it goes, people of God. If we got the third dimension as believers, that's what we ought to be doing to everyone that care to hear and to listen. There's a group of other people here, maybe. Perhaps you are never saved. You know, you come to church, you sing the song, you know, you even know the Bible, but you're never saved. No contact, no transformation in your heart. There has never been any time when you have come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, save me from my sin. People may not remember the date and the hour, but they will absolutely have to remember that there was a point in their life when they came to the Lord Jesus and asked that he deliver them from their sin. If you've never had that opportunity, you've never done that, the person is not saved. I mean, you could be going through your life, through the church all your life, perhaps even born into church. But if there was never a time that you came to Christ and said, look, this sin is killing me. I'm dying under the load of sin. Lord, save my soul. The person is never saved. And this is a great opportunity to appreciate the purpose of Christmas, the why of it. Because it came just for that. Every other thing added, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these other, and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. It's the entrance to the kingdom of God. That's why he came. That's the third dimension. So you can leave this place today by the grace of God and say, I've watched Christmas in 3D. And the third dimension involved the why of his coming, which is to save you and to save me. And today, by the grace of God, as we round up, I'm going to be leading such people or such persons through the Lord's prayer, through a prayer of salvation. And you're just going to mean it and say it from the bottom of your heart, from the depth of your soul. Because today, you can literally walk out unseen. Why? Because the Savior came. Because the Savior came. There is this story that took place somewhere in the United States. In 1981, there was this Minnesota radio that started talking about this man that had stolen a vehicle from California. Now, the police were staging an intense, search, looking everywhere for this thief who had stolen this car. Now, they even went to the extent of using the local station, local radio station, to announce the fact that they were looking for this man. Now, they did all they could to get the man. Now, how will you imagine that the man somewhere will be asking himself the question, why all these hassles? The reason for that is because what was stolen was not a very big, was not a new car. It was not even one of the classic cars. It was one very old, rickety car. So why all these hassles about trying to apprehend the person, the thief that stole the vehicle? Now, this is the reason. Unknown to the thief, in the front of the car, there was this cracker that was already laced with poison. Now, the owner of the car had laced it with poison and prepared it to be used as a bait for rats. Now, but it was there lying down in the front of the seat of this man who had just stolen this car. And that was exactly the reason why the police were trying to get him. They were not so much concerned about the car. They were concerned that he might want to just, you know, take one of the crackers and just enjoy himself to increase his glucose level. And that was just signing his death warrant. They were chasing him everywhere. Now, I know that's the way it sounds to us, especially as we run away from God. You know, when we are in sin, we run away from God because we actually just don't want him to meddle with our fears. And he keeps chasing us. He keeps chasing us like he's doing this morning, I believe, to one or two people, chasing you to just get your attention. Not just because of the car that has been stolen, but because there is something in your hand and in your heart that will destroy you and completely, eternally separate you from your maker. And that is why today, people of God, if there is any great gift that you want to give to Christ, as an unsaved person, there is no better gift than to surrender your heart unto him and to come to him because you recognize, I haven't seen Christmas in 3D, that I'm a sinner in search of a Savior. The Bible says, whosoever come to him, he shall in no wise cast out. People of God are saints. We have an assignment. The assignment that is given to us today is the same old assignment that was given to the shepherds as they were watching over their sheep by night in the howling wilderness of the land of Palestine. And that assignment is very simple. Publish the word. Spread the news. Speak to someone about the Savior. Let them know it has nothing to do so much with the gift and the commercialization attached. Those ones are the crap of the enemy that has been crowded into Christmas to steal us away from the main thing. Let people know that there is a reason for the season, and the reason for the season is that a Savior came to deliver us from sin and handed over into our hands salvation. If you will do that today, you will have celebrated Christmas the only way that is right to do so. Shall we pray?